Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and I'm very pleased to welcome former ABC News anchor Carol Simpson, who joins us now. Not only was Carol Simpson the first minority moderator of a presidential debate when she took the mic in 1992, but she was the first woman, too. And though it's been 20 years since that historic debate between Bush the First, Bill Clinton, and Ross Perot, no woman has moderated a presidential debate since. Carol Simpson's memoirs are entitled News Lady, and she is also a professor of journalism at Emerson College. Welcome to WNYC, Carol. Such a pleasure to have you.
Thank you, Brian, and it's good to be on your show.
You write in your book that moderating that debate was the crowning achievement of your long career and that the candidates wanted you, not Peter Jennings or Ted Koppel or Sam Donaldson, who were all in the mix at that time, not Diane Sawyer, you. I didn't even know the candidates get to pick.
Well, yes, you know, there's the Bipartisan Commission on Presidential Debates that was started in 1987 to run the debates. They took over for the League of Women Voters that had been running the presidential debates. And so it's made up of people from both parties, and then they kind of choose the moderators, but it has to be approved by the candidates. It has to be approved by the campaigns. I had covered George Bush while he was vice president for 8 years, so I knew him really well. And I had done a lot of stories about education when Bill Clinton was governor of Arkansas. So they both knew me, and they both approved of the selection.
This was a historic debate for another reason. It was the first town hall-style debate. These days, it's common for presidential forums and debates to field questions from the audience. One of them this year will be in that style. What did you think when the format was announced to you?
Well, I was, first of all, terrified because once they said that they would like me to moderate this brand new format they were going to try, it's never been tried in history. And I was told it was to be an Oprah-style debate. I don't know if that's why they chose a black woman to do it, but they wanted someone that would walk in the audience, and that's what she was doing in those days. And, talk to have the people ask their questions. And my job was to follow up to make sure the candidates answered the questions and to make sure that nobody took more time than the other. I had very little control of what happened during that debate because there was a producer in my ear who would tell me, okay, I want you to talk to the lady in the red dress in the first row. Now go up to the man in the brown suit to your right, and he has on an orange tie. We want to go to him next. So I had no control over who asked the questions nor what the questions were going to be. So I called myself the lady with the microphone because that's what I did. I held the microphone. And I was extremely disappointed to find out that my good friend and one of the best political correspondents in the nation, Candy Crowley, was going to be doing the second presidential debate, which is, again, a town hall format. She will be the lady with the microphone walking among the audience and having the citizens ask their questions, which I think is a wonderful thing to do, to have the citizens participate. It's a participatory democracy, and ask their questions because they're nothing like the questions that the press wants to ask, like, Romney, where are the rest of your tax returns?
Right.
They really want to know about crime in their neighborhoods and what about jobs? I've lost my job and that kind of thing. And so I think it's a wonderful way to bring citizens into the process.
But it also marginalizes the moderator. And so
exactly. You're
unhappy that Candy Crowley, as the next woman moderator since you of a presidential debate, got sort of relegated to that one. And yet you did get to use your journalistic and interviewing skills in at least one really important moment in that debate, and we're going to play this historic clip.
Oh, okay.
This was when President George H.W. Bush was asked by an audience member how he personally was affected by the national debt. Yes, some of the issues were exactly the same as they are today. And here is a minute of that exchange.
I think the national debt affects everybody. Obviously, it has a lot to do with interest rates. It has.
She's saying you personally.
On a personal basis, how has it affected you?
Has it affected you personally?
Well, I'm sure it has. I love my grandchildren. I want to think
how?
That. I want to think that they're going to be able to afford an education. I think that that's an important part of being a parent. Maybe I won't get it wrong. Are you suggesting that if somebody has means, that the national debt doesn't affect them?
Oh, what I'm saying.
I'm not sure I get it. Help me with a question and I'll try to answer it.
I've had friends that have been laid off from jobs.
Yeah.
I know people who cannot afford to pay the mortgage on their homes, their car payment. I have personal problems with the national debt. But how has it affected you? And if you have no experience in it, how can you help us if you don't know what we're feeling?
I think she means more the recession, the economic problems today the country faces rather than the debt.
All right, that from the 1992 presidential debate moderated by Carol Simpson. And you were following up on behalf of the audience member and focusing the question, saying, I think she means the recession.
George Bush. I was really trying to help him.
Him?
And I was thinking, George, you can knock this out of the park. All you have to do is say, well, I'm not personally affected, but I understand what the country is going through, which is exactly what Bill Clinton did. He walked up to that young woman. He said, let me take a try at that question.
In fact, we've got that clip, so let's play it for contrast's sake.
Tell me how it's affected you again. You know people who've lost their jobs and lost their homes?
Uh-huh.
Well, I've been governor of a small state for 12 years. I'll tell you how it's affected me. Every year, Congress and the president sign laws that make us do more things. It gives us less money to do it with. In my state, when people lose their jobs, there's a good chance I'll know them by their names.
So there's Bill Clinton's political genius at work.
Yes. And it's one of those I feel your pain kind of moments. And I have to tell you, Brian, that I participated in several symposia and conferences about that debate in 1992 at many universities. And the consensus was that George Bush lost the election during that debate. People saw him watching his watch, which I didn't notice until I saw the tape. But he looked at his watch three times. And, you know, being a moderator, people see you on the street and they come up to you. And I was asked so many times, why did he look at his watch? Where did he have to go? He looked like he was trying to get out of there. So, you know, one little gesture, one little statement can turn people's minds about the candidate.
And, of course, there is a parallel to Romney this year, who's had a problem as a very wealthy person who doesn't seem to connect so well at his personal appearances with people of lesser means. I wonder how you might write a question today, if you've thought about it, that deals with that issue, that deals with Romney's 47% comment or something along those lines.
I have about 10 questions about his wealth and whether he can relate to the average American. And I don't think he can. I really don't think he can. And I can imagine the answers he would give, which he has already given in several interviews. He's all over the lot. I mean, I think he's confused everyone as to where he stands. He's against Obamacare, but he likes some of Obamacare. He's against abortion, but he thinks in the life of the mother and rape and incest, it should be okay. And it's like, I think he's trying to move to the center for the general election because he had gone very right during the primaries to win the primary. But it just makes him I think it will, in the public's mind, make him look untrustworthy.
Of course, Obama fails to connect with certain segments of the population, too.
Exactly.
Business owners suspicious of him after saying you didn't build that, even if it was taken out of context. His remark 4 years ago about people clinging to their guns and religion. So they each have their cultural connection challenges.
They do. They do indeed. And I can't wait until next week. I mean, I have been waiting for these debates, and I loved them during the primary. It was the best thing I saw on television. And I'm a political junkie, so I am just excited that finally we're going to get these debates. I teach a course called Road to the White House, so I'll be watching them with my students, and it should be great fun.
We have a few minutes left with Carol Simpson, former ABC News anchor and author of her memoir, News Lady, who was the first woman to anchor a presidential debate in 1992, also the first African-American. I want to mention that there's an event tonight. Carol will be talking about the importance of debates with a panel including WNYC's own Caitlin Thompson, who runs our politics site, It's a Free Country.
Oh, she will be there, okay.
So I hear, and that is tonight at 6:30. Folks, if you want to go, hosted by the Paley Center for Media on West 52nd Street, and there's a link with more information on our page. You can go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. Carol, in the past 20 years, there hasn't been another woman chosen to moderate a debate between presidential candidates until Candy Crowley of CNN was chosen to moderate one this year. Gwen Ifill of PBS has moderated two vice presidential debates.
That's not the really big show.
Mm-hmm.
So they put away, and they've got Martha Raddatz doing this vice presidential debate. I'm afraid that's becoming the woman's slot, as the town hall format is going to be the woman's slot. The thing that disturbs me most is that two men, Jim Lehrer and Bob Schieffer, both great journalists, will be able to ask the questions, their own questions of the candidates one-on-one during their debates. But Candy, in a year where women's issues have come to the fore on reproductive rights and so on, she will not be able to ask her own questions. And that disturbs me.
Do you think that women ask different kinds of questions or bring something else to a presidential debate?
I think they bring their gender to it. And a question from a woman about why you oppose abortion has much more import than coming from a man. We've had men talking about what women can and cannot do with their reproductive systems for years and years now. And it's like, hey, a woman needs to ask that question. I know I could with passion and with forthrightness that men might not.
Any advice for Candy or for Martha?
If I were Candy, I think I'd go rogue. It's a terrible thing to say.
What does that mean in this case?
In this case, I would ask a question that I felt needed asking. If they weren't coming from the public, which hopefully this year they will, but if some woman doesn't ask a question about reproductive rights, I think I would go ahead and violate the rules and ask the question.
Candy Crowley, pull a Sarah Palin and go rogue, advises Carol Simpson, former ABC. Former ABC News anchor who was the first woman and first African-American to moderate a presidential debate in 1992. Her memoir is called News Lady, and she will be appearing at 6:30 tonight at the Paley Center on West 52nd Street with her own Caitlin Thompson and others on a panel about the importance of the debates. This has been a real pleasure, Carol. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been great, Brian. Thank you.